The following is an archive edition of Youth Speaks Out. I'm Dan Roberts, the show's producer. Since 2000, Youth Speaks Out has presented monthly shows covering topics important to our youth. The show is hosted by high school students in Mendocino County, California. You can listen to many hours of interesting programs in streaming audio at our website, youthspeaksout.net. Please check it out and tell a friend. If you have questions or comments, send us an email through our website, youthspeaksout.net, or write to Dan Roberts, P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. In 2000, I was able to arrange an interview between Willits High School student Alicia and Michael Franti of the hip-hop group Spearhead. This was recorded in the mountains outside of Willits. We were creating a series of programs on youth and substances on a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
My name's Alicia, and I'm here with
Michael Franti from Spearhead.
We're going to talk about media and how it's influencing teens to do drugs and alcohol. So what are your opinions on teens doing drugs?
Well, drugs are a very complicated issue for all people, but especially for young people in this culture, because this is a culture that defines certain things as drugs and other things not as drugs. And those things that are defined as drugs are things that are really bad that you can go to jail for and that will supposedly ruin your life. And other things that they don't define as drugs, people do to excess and end up killing themselves anyway. And so I think any conversation that you have about drugs, it's really important to define first what it is that you're talking about. I don't really have a real succinct explanation for what drugs are, but I do know that the prescription drugs and alcohol and tobacco are very much as dangerous as the quote-unquote illegal drugs that we have in this country. And it's important for young people to understand that. Every time you turn on the TV set or listen to a radio station, you're going to hear messages about, you know, here's this beer that you should drink and it's going to make you do all these things and make you be really cool with the girls, and there's all these funny and clever commercials, and it's put right there in between the football game and the basketball game. And same thing with tobacco, you know, there's all these commercials now today that are the tobacco industry saying R.J. Reynolds really cares about people, and we give all this money every year to these things to do good things for people. And meanwhile, in this country, over 400,000 people die a year of lung cancer from tobacco. And I don't know how many people die of alcohol, but I know that in my own life as a teenager, it was something that really affected me because my father was an alcoholic. And when I was 17, I ran away from home because of that. Later, my father went on to stop drinking, because when I eventually came back, I told him that I wasn't going to live in a house with him. And I asked him if he had a drinking problem, and he said, yeah, I've been an alcoholic for 9 years, and I don't care if it kills me. And I said, well, I care. I really care if it kills you, and I'm not going to sit back and watch you do this. And so he quit drinking, but I moved out of the house very soon after that, so I didn't really get to be around him much when he wasn't drunk. You know, later in life, last year he had a stroke, and during his recovery from his stroke, he became a completely different person, a very much changed person. And one of the things he said to me is, he said, thank you for being the person who stood up to me and said, you know, that it's time to stop. The prescription drugs and the quote-unquote legal drugs are as dangerous as the illegal drug. I think the same thing goes with pot. I think there's not enough discussion that takes place with young people and with their parents and family about hot. And so what happens is a lot of kids end up doing the wake and bake routine, which at a young age can be really stifling to people's progression. It's important to understand that you know, pot has medicinal purposes and it has ability to expand your mind and create a new openness in you creatively. But it's just like anything else. If you wake up on Saturday morning and eat 12 Snickers bars and watch cartoons, you're not going to be a very aware person, you know. But if you use it in moderation, what it's about, and learn its effects and learn when it's okay to use it and when it's not okay to use it, just like beer or just like, you know, an occasional glass of wine, it can be a part of your life. And I think that the laws that we have in this country, like the whole thing of being 21 before you drink, ends up making young people turn to alcohol in a very aggressive way. As soon as they turn 21, they think the first thing they need to do is go and get slobbery drunk and fall down in a bar. In my family and my household, I have a son who's 13 years old, and he's always been told that if you want to drink, you can drink with us and the family. And so far, he's had a few sips of wine. He's never been one to really like want to drink, but I want to teach him about what it means to drink responsibly. And if he wants to have a glass of wine, or if he wants to occasionally have a hit of pot or whatever it is, he's going to know what it's about, and he's going to know how to do it, and not just be turned, set free into the world and say, hey, go and, you know, find out about drugs and alcohol from TV. Another thing is that there's a lot of pressure from the media to be consumers. And I think that the danger of consumerism is just as dangerous as drugs and alcohol. There's these notions that, you know, if you buy a certain pair of shoes, and if you buy certain clothes, or if you can afford a certain type of car, that it's going to make you a certain type of person. That materialism and that addiction to buying things can be just as dangerous as drugs and alcohol, because it shuts off our spirit. It turns our spirit into being like a mannequin, where we're just dressed up in all these things, and what's really going on inside us doesn't matter anymore. And when we develop that type of consciousness, it leaves us wide open to I don't want to call it a demon, because I don't view it as that, but that part of us that becomes addictive to drugs and alcohol is the part that says, you know, I'm afraid to be who I am, and I don't want to deal with the feelings I'm feeling, so I'm going to medicate it. And some of us medicate it with drugs and alcohol, and some of us medicate it with consumerism, and some medicate it with sex or whatever, but it's all about trying to forget about who you are and what your pains and worries are. And so I think that consumerism and just purchasing things all the time is something that we really need to look out for.
Okay, earlier when you were talking about alcohol, mm-hmm. I see that just as bad as doing drugs, mm-hmm. if not worse. Mm-hmm. And do you notice, like, I'll just call it substance use, because whether it's alcohol, drugs, anything, do you notice this when you're performing?
Yeah, I perform in a lot of clubs and bars, and I notice it a lot. When people are drunk, sometimes, I notice the difference between other drugs. I notice that when people are smoking pot at my concerts, they're generally peaceful and want to have fun. When people are drinking, they end up getting in fights and become aggressive. And unfortunately, the way that nightclubs work in this country is that you have to be 21 to get in, because that's where they make their money. They don't really make their money off selling tickets with the band. They make their money off of the alcohol that they sell when 500 people show up at the club. And so it prevents young people from getting into the concerts, and it puts a lot of pressure on people to drink, because they're constantly pushing that at us. And we try as much as we can as a band, a spearhead, to play in all ages places, and to play at places where alcohol is not the main focus of what's going on.
Does, like, people that are drunk or high or on ecstasy or acid, for instance, mm-hmm. does this affect your performance in any way?
Well, it doesn't affect my performance in that it doesn't make me feel like, oh, well, You know, I'm not going to perform with 100% of my heart tonight because people are drunk or whatever. But what it does make me do at times is I'll address it. You know, if I see people who are really drunk, I'll talk about it from the stage. You know, or if I see people who are on a lot of ecstasy and stuff, I'll talk to people about, you know, about being safe and not combining drugs, because that's one of the things that happens is people start combining ecstasy with alcohol and pot and other things, and that's when they end up really getting sick or really getting hurt. You know, I've been to Holland, because, you know, people always say, well, America, love it or leave it, because it's the best system in the world, and I've been to Holland, and I've been to concert department right there at the front door of the concert, but the police department is not there to bust people. The police department is there to test your ecstasy and make sure that your ecstasy is clean and isn't really, you know, polluted with a lot of stuff. And they'll say, hey, here, we tested your stuff and it has this much of this stuff and this much, and we would advise that you only take this amount or whatever. And so the police department and the health department in Holland work very closely together in making sure that young people are doing safe practices, and pot is legal there, and young people grow up learning how to use it and grow up learning how to use alcohol in ways that are safe and sane, rather than in this country where people are just have to do it behind closed doors or whatever and end up killing themselves. And another big element to that is the criminal justice system, where in this country, 70% of the 2 million people who are behind bars are behind bars for drug-related offenses and are serving mandatory minimum sentences, which are sentences where a judge has no discretion in terms of how long you're supposed to be locked up. There's just a mandatory minimum that says if you did a certain thing, you have 5 years minimum. And it's really crippling our country, and it's really crippling our generation of young people. And the reason that it's continued to go on is that prisons are a big business. If you imagine having a prison that holds about 2,000 people, and you have to feed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and put clothes on them, and provide certain services for them. If you had a restaurant that served 2,000 meals at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that would be a very big money-making restaurant. And so there's the prison industry is one that makes a lot of money for communities, and it costs between $29,000 and $40,000 a year to house one prisoner. And I think that there are certain people who are addicts and who have a health issue, which is that they're addicted to, you know, certain drugs, cocaine and heroin, cigarettes and alcohol especially, that should be treated as patients within a healthcare system. People who are selling drugs and especially hard drugs, for the most part do it because they haven't had other opportunities in their life. And they see, like, hey, should I go and work at McDonald's for $5 an hour, or should I go out on the street and slang dope? You know, they choose that option, and they end up getting locked up. I live in Hunters Point in San Francisco, which is an all-black neighborhood, and we have 24-hour police surveillance coming through our communities and busting young people for selling pot and for selling crack on the streets. What ends up happening is those youth go into jail, and they spend 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years in there, and by the time they come out, they're people that I don't even want to hang out with, you know, because they've been so brutalized and had so much sensory deprivation and been so confined with violence, you know, that they come out and they're not nice people anymore. Not that they can't be saved or brought back to being, to finding that place of goodness in their heart, but they've been in these conditions. And so it destroys our community in that way. It destroys our community in that a lot of really bad drugs are brought into our community. And it destroys our community in that they're spending money on prisons rather than on education, which is a way to expand people's minds and give them opportunities to do something productive.
Teenagers, I can't say that all teenagers are going to experiment, but there are a proportion of teenagers that would and will. Do you think that they should just wait until they're older? And well, just, you know, because we're still developing and...
I think that, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I know that physiologically, you know, it's important for your body to develop before you, you know, lift a lot of weights or something, because it hurts the cartilage in your bones and it could stunt your growth. And, you know, I think that it's important that young people lead as healthy, clean childhoods as they possibly can. And I know that there's a lot of pressure out there to experiment with drugs. And I think that the only thing I can suggest to people is, yeah, it's good to wait for as long as you can. But the reality is there's so much pressure. And the best thing is to find out as much information as you can about whatever it is that you're using. There's nothing wrong with abstinence, and there's nothing wrong with saying no. And if you feel like uncomfortable about doing anything, just to tell your friends or whoever's putting the pressure on you, you know, this is not for me. I'm not ready for this, and I don't want to do this yet. And there's really nothing wrong with that. The other thing I would suggest is that, you know, there's so much pressure that's placed on kids to just say no and all this stuff. And I think that it's really important that we find things that we can say yes to. You know, music is one of those things, and, you know, outdoor activities and spending time in nature and spending time communing with friends is a really great thing that really fills me up. And I remember when I was a kid, that was my favorite thing, was to spend time with my friends and just to hang out. And I think that it's important for young people to become involved politically, become involved civically in our communities, and put pressure on the adults. Because we're 25% of the population, but we don't get 25% of the money from the taxes being spent. And you have these things like Proposition 21 that are the juvenile justice bill that is, they're trying to lock up young people for doing these petty crimes and try and treat them as adults, but we don't get to vote. They say that you're supposed to be allowed to be tried by a jury of your peers, but we're not tried by other teens, and that's not who the jury's made up. It's made up of adults. And it's really important for us to become aware of what's going on with young people in our schools, and fight for after school programs and fight for community centers and really raise our voices and stand up and organize, because that's how things get done. And every time it's a teacher or somebody tells you, you know, you shouldn't do drugs, you should look them back in the eye and say to them, well, then if we agree not to do drugs, then are you going to agree to build us a community center or to have a dance for us on every Friday night or do something for us so that we can have other opportunities to say yes to things rather than you always telling us to say no to things? And for any adults that's listening too, that onus is on you all too, is to really, if you have the best interest of youth in mind, don't just keep telling them no to things. Be providing them opportunities to do stuff.
Earlier you said that we need to have more things we can say yes to, and you listed music mm-hmm. as one of those things. I fully agree with that. Point I'd like to bring up is, do you think that music in any way promotes or influences the drug use?
Yeah, I do. I mean, there's songs about drugs, and there's often times the sort of negative aspects of drug culture are glorified in music. But I think that music is about an expression of emotions. And the reason that young people are attracted to songs about getting drunk or about getting high or about, you know, violence or stuff like that is because it's emotions that we're feeling in our hearts. And sometimes music is our only way to give voice to them. We hear songs about something and it pulls out emotions that are in us. The thing I have to say to that is that, you know, it's really important that we understand that MTV and the radio and all these things that are promoting those types of music are there because, not because they care about you, but because they want to suck every last dollar out of your wallet. And their sole motivation is to remove you from your money. And so they are there to try to promote the stuff that they think is going to get kids to give up that money. And they're going to put these messages out there that are all about you go out and shoot each other and kill each other and take all kinds of drugs and fall down and hurt yourself and do destructive things to yourself, because they know that it's going to get them paid, you know. And that's a really sad and unfortunate thing. And I think that it's really good when young people can can listen to music and seek out underground music and other types of music that aren't just what the corporation is telling you to do and telling you to buy. You know, I remember when I was a kid that there was a lot of underground music that I only heard when I was listening to college radio stations. And so I eventually turned to that other side of the dial and stopped listening to the commercial and corporate music. And I found that there was really cool music that was really about loving life and was about positivity and was about us finding the best in ourselves and wasn't just about self-destruction. There's still that music that's out there, and you know, you have to go and look for it. And if you can't go and look for it and find it, then you have to pick up an instrument or get on a mic and start rhyming or get some turntables and start DJing and do it yourself, you know. And that's what I really dug. When I was a kid, there was hip-hop and there was punk rock that was just starting out. And the thing that was great about hip-hop was that anybody could just go and get some turntables and start rapping over a beat, or could sit on the corner and start beatboxing and start rhyming. And there wasn't all this pressure for it to be about how much money we could make or how much records we could sell or how much gold chains we could get. It was just all about creativity and about expressing ourselves. And the same thing in punk rock existed. There was this thing called DIY, which is do it yourself, and don't you know, feel like because you can't play a guitar very well that you can't get up on stage and sing songs just knowing two chords, you know, or whatever. And I dig that spirit and I admire that spirit in youth today. And I see it when I see kids getting on a skateboard and doing, you know, double flips off the top of a ramp, or when they're snowboarding, or when they're surfing, or whatever. You know, there's that spirit that we have that we can achieve things if we really practice and set our minds to it. And you know, don't listen to adults saying this is something that you're just wasting your time doing. I believe that anything that you work on, that you work on hard and disciplined at and try to perfect, is only going to help you in life. And it's not that you're going to maybe become a world-class skateboarder and do that until you're 60 years old, but that discipline that you learn in practicing those skateboard tricks is going to be discipline that helps you to become a great artist, or to become a great civic leader, or to become a great parent, or just to become a great person that really loves and cares about other people. So whatever it is that you find, if you, you know, because there's a lot of people who don't find that they do well in school, and I was one of those people that didn't do well in school, and I just really didn't feel like I fit in, and I had problems when I was a kid. But I really loved to play basketball when I was a kid, and I really loved to write poetry when I was a kid, and I really liked to make music, and so I really concentrated just on those things that I liked, you know. And I figured, hey, maybe I can't do really great in math, but I'm going to try really hard at the things that I do really enjoy and I do really like, and I'm going to really make the best of them. And that's really helped me today. You know, now that I'm a parent and now that I'm a musician professionally, and that discipline that I learned as a kid really helped. So, you know, if you draw or whatever it is, or you make music or like to play sports or snowboard or ski or whatever, just do it to the best that you can. Find one thing in your life that you like and that you're good at, and really work on perfecting it.
How long have you been a professional musician?
Well, I made my first record in 1987. We had this group called the Beatniks, and we just recorded our own music, and we put out a record, and we got in a van, and we just drove from town to town, and we would just play, and we would just, at the end of the night, we'd ask people for donations, and sometimes you'd get 25 or 50 bucks, and that would give us gas money to get to the next place, you know. And we would ask people just, you know, do you have a place to stay, and can you put us up, and can you help feed us or whatever. And we did that for a couple of years, you know, just like that. And we loved it, and it was a really great education for me, because I had never really traveled a lot, and just to see different parts of the country. And we went to Europe eventually, and was really like kind of like my college education, you know. You know, I would talk to kids who go to college, and I'd say, hey, well, what books are you reading? And they wouldn't have read any books, you know, except their class books, the textbooks, you know. And I was reading books, and I was traveling, and I was seeing the world, and I was writing things, There's nothing wrong with that. And I believe that there's so much pressure in the society that if you don't go to college, that you're going to be a waste of a person. And a lot of people start believing that. And it's totally not the case. You know, I think there's three or even four types of education. The first one is your home training, you know, like just right and wrong. Don't hit your brother. Don't throw sand at the other kid's eyes, you know, and just basic right and wrong. That's your home training. And then there's the school training. You know, you go to school and you learn to read and write and you learn about, you know, history and mathematics and science and stuff. But then there's the education of the street. You know, and there's education of just the world, of learning how to get along with other people, you know, and learning how to confront situations and deal with situations and stay out of harm's way and to be able to stick up for yourself and to find out what it is that you like. And I think then there's a fourth level of education, which is a spiritual education. You know, it's an understanding of who you are as a person, understanding what's in your heart and in your mind. And none of those forms of education are any more or less important than any of them. Some people excel in some areas and don't do as well in other areas, but we have our whole life to do all of those things. And don't feel the pressure that if you don't make it into college, or that if you don't feel comfortable being in school now, that you can't still learn and educate yourself in other ways. And maybe some point in your life you'll go back to that college, you'll go back to that, you know, formal type of classroom education. But it's not the end of the world if you don't excel. But you have to try to excel in those other areas if you can't excel in school.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
So much.
All right.
It was great talking to you.
Thank you.
That was an interview between Willits High School student Alicia and Michael Franti of the hip-hop group Spearhead. This was recorded in the mountains outside of Willits. We were creating a series of programs on youth and substances on a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. That was an archive edition of Youth Speaks Out. I'm Dan Roberts, the show's producer. Since 2000, Youth Speaks Out has presented monthly shows covering topics important to our youth. The show is hosted by high school students in Mendocino County, California. You can listen to many hours of interesting programs and streaming audio at our website, youthspeaksout.net. Please check it out and tell a friend. If you have questions or comments, send us an email through the website, youthspeaksout.net, or write to Dan Roberts, P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490. This program is free to rebroadcast upon notification. Thanks for listening.